Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with thousands of different plants and over 2 million happy customers? They have all the plants your yard needs, like fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and so much more. Whatever plants you're interested in, Fast Growing Trees has you covered. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. Order online and get your plants delivered directly to your door in just a few days without ever leaving home. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee ensures your plants arrive happy and healthy. Plus, get support from trained plant experts on call to help you plan your landscape, choose the right plants, and learn how to care for them. I'm very excited about fast growing trees. I think sometimes like thinking about how to plant in your yard can be daunting and overwhelming because you don't know what to do and you don't know how to do it. But this is a really great way to try and learn, and you don't have to go to a nursery and feel like you're not sure what you're doing. You can just go with fast growing trees and you know they have the guarantee. So check it out. And this spring, they have the best deals for your yard, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get 15% off their first purchase when using the code LOVEIT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com. Using the code LOVEIT at checkout, fastgrowingtrees.com, code LOVEIT. Now's the perfect time to plant. It's spring. Use LOVEIT to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Hey, everybody. If you're a regular listener to Love It or Leave It or Pod Save America, or, you know, you have a pulse, you know how important it is for us to build a big, diverse democratic movement to fight the rising right-wing authoritarian government that's unfolding at a college campus near you. That's why I love and highly recommend you check out the Bulwark Podcast. I'm a listener. John's a listener.
Love the Bulwark Podcast. Don't miss an episode.
It's hosted by our friend Tim Miller, who's a former Republican operative turned anti-Trump crusader. He did what a lot of people were too chicken shit to do, which is tell the truth about the threat Trump poses. Took a lot of risks to do that. Not a lot of Republicans were righteous and moral enough to do that. And the people at the Bulwark are doing really, really great work. And their podcast features a wide range of guests from across the political spectrum. They have some Democrats. They have some Republicans. They have some Republicans who are surprisingly now cheering on AOC. If you told them a few years ago that that's what they're doing, I think they'd be pretty surprised. The point is they are on Team Democracy, which hopefully you are too. So tune in as they cover where the Democratic Party goes from here, what Donald Trump is up to, and who's affected by all of it. No one knows the dark side better than somebody like Tim, who used to be on it. We love the Bulwark. We're huge fans of what they're building over there, and we really want to support it. So check out the Bulwark Podcast on YouTube or listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Dynasty Typewriter, which is also the only device Michael Waltz is now allowed to use. We've got a great show for you tonight. Star of stage and screen, Barbie Ferreira, is here. Jared Goldstein is back. Then we wrap it all up by lowering our defenses and sharing a text gone wrong. But first, let's get into it. What a week. On Monday, The Atlantic's editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg reported one of the wildest stories of our time. He had accidentally been added to a Signal group chat where U.S. national security leaders were planning military strikes in Yemen. Part of what makes this so incredible is that Trump fucking hates The Atlantic. It'd be like if someone on my team accidentally looped in Samuel Alito. Why was Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito in your contacts, Hallie? The group congratulated each other following the strike, with National Security Advisor Michael Waltz sending three emojis: fist, American flag, fire. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth replied with a martini emoji, followed by five more martini emojis, followed by car emoji. The bad sign. The shocking lapse led to outrage amongst national security experts and Democrats. Here's Pete Buttigieg.
And to see this administration claiming that it cares about competence and merit, and then be responsible for an epic fuck-up like this, demonstrates that these are not serious people.
How dare you say we're not serious? We're deadly serious about the deal you can get on a new Tesla, said Donald Trump. Hillary butter emails Clinton, posted the article with an eyeballs emoji, writing, "You have got to be kidding me." Then the usher at Aunt Juliet told her to put her phone away. But it was worth it. Republicans, meanwhile, vacillated between the mildest of criticisms and declaring the whole fiasco a hoax. House Speaker Mike Johnson called the signal chat a mistake, but when asked whether Waltz and Hegseth should be disciplined, replied, "No, no, of course not." "There's no reason to discipline these men," Johnson continued, a little lump in his throat. "There's no reason to teach these boys a lesson." A little strange. In a press conference the next day, Johnson said of Waltz, "He was born for the job. He is highly qualified. The president said he has total confidence in him, and we do as well. And this man was born to be a surgeon," said Mike Johnson, watching a guy drop a kidney on the floor, then kick it across the OR, and then when he tries to grab it, he accidentally knocks the IV out of a patient's arm, sending a streak of blood across the faces of several gobsmacked nurses. Hegseth was asked about the story on Monday and said this.
"Can you share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic? And were those details classified?"
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again.
Hegseth continued, "Please write down that I shared classified information with someone who is bad." Also, at this point, the White House has admitted that the group chat is real. It's too late to say a hoax. The hoax ship has sailed and you've leaked its coordinates. Trump reportedly is fuming in private, but tried to play down the whole mess in public.
"The main thing was nothing happened. The attack was totally successful. It was, I guess, from what I understand, took place during, and it wasn't classified information. So this was not classified. Now, if it's classified information, it's probably a little bit different. But I always say you have to learn from every experience."
That's that wise energy we always get from Donald Trump. It's not about how much you make. It's about what you learn. It's about being curious. That's what he's always said. You know, think of every job opportunity as a chance to learn and grow in your field. It was an honest mistake, sharing classified attack plans with a random journalist on a group thread using an insecure platform while several of the participants were out of the country, including in Russia, on personal devices that are almost certainly compromised in a way that could have gotten Americans killed. But it's not dangerous, like publishing an op-ed critical of Israel in a college newspaper. That shit should destroy your life. By delightful coincidence, five of the nation's top intelligence officials, including Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard and CIA Director John Ratcliffe, both of whom were on the Signal group chat, were already scheduled to appear before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Tuesday. Gabbard claimed not to recall any discussion of specific weapons targets or timing and refused to answer if she joined the chat from her personal phone or government phone.
"Were you overseas during any parts of these discussions?"
"Yes, Senator, I was."
"Were you using your private phone or public phone for the Signal discussions?"
I won't speak to this because it's under review."
This is the review. You're at it. Look around. You're being asked questions in front of a congressional committee that oversees your agency. If you're meeting with HR and they're asking, "Did you take all the Baby Bell cheeses from the office kitchen home with you?" You can't say, "This is not the time or the place." Babe, it's the time. It's the place. Where's our fucking cheese? Later on Tuesday, Waltz went on Fox News and took full responsibility for accidentally adding a journalist to the Signal chat. I'm kidding, of course. He said this.
"How did a Trump-hating editor of The Atlantic end up on your Signal chat?"
"You know, Laura, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but of all the people out there, somehow this guy who has lied about the president, who has lied to Gold Star families, lied to their attorneys, and gone to Russia hoax, gone to just all kinds of lengths to lie and smear the president of the United States. And he's the one that somehow gets on somebody's contact and then gets sucked into this group."
Bitch, do you think Jeffrey Goldberg is the Riddler? When pressed, Waltz offered this explanation of how Goldberg wound up in the chat.
"So you don't know what staffer is responsible for this right now?"
Well, look, a staffer wasn't responsible.
Yeah, but how did the number?
Have you ever had somebody's contact that shows their name, and then you have somebody else's number there?
Oh, I never make those mistakes.
Right, you got somebody else's number on someone else's contact. So of course, I didn't see this loser in the group. It looked like someone else. Now, whether he did it deliberately or it happened in some other technical mean is something we're trying to figure out.
Totally. One quick follow-up. What? Jeff is a middle-aged journalist from The Atlantic. I think if you told him right now that to get a big scoop, he had to sign and return a PDF over email, you've got like a 50-50 shot. Like, what are you talking about? Also, you're a 51-year-old man calling somebody a loser because you fucked up. Jeffrey Goldberg did nothing wrong. You are lucky that he was incredibly responsible. He didn't report it before the mission. He redacted the portions that were classified until you claimed they weren't. You should be thanking Jeffrey Goldberg. It's not his fault. He's saving your phone as News Jew. And then his name popped up when you tried to add War Jew to the chat. But these bumbling oafs can't even agree on a lie. Here's Donald Trump just hours later claiming that it was a staffer who was responsible.
What it was, we believe, is somebody that was on the line with permission, somebody that was with Mike Waltz, worked for Mike Waltz at a lower level, had, I guess, Goldberg's number or called through the app, and somehow this guy ended up on the call.
So first of all, he thinks it's a call. Well, I'll tell you, it sounds like we need a fewer let's bomb Yemen signal chats and a few more let's get our fucking story straight Google Meets. After Trump and national security officials denied that classified information was shared in the signal chat, Goldberg on Wednesday published a text that he had initially withheld, writing, "People should see the text in order to reach their own conclusions." Hell yeah. More like Jefe Goldberg. Anyway, here are the texts Hegseth sent in a signal chat with a journalist in it before the U.S. attacked Houthi targets. Time now, 11:44 ET. Weather is favorable. Just confirmed with CENTCOM we are go for missile launch. 12:15 ET, F-18's launch, first strike package. 13:45, trigger-based, F-18, first strike window starts. Target terrorist is at his known location, so should be on time. Also, strike drones launch, MQ-9s. Look, I don't know all the rules about what's classified and what's not, but I do know that if Philip and Elizabeth Jennings got a hold of this kind of information on an episode of The Americans, Margot Martindale would come in her pants. Hegseth continued, 14:10, more F-18s launch, second strike package. 14:15, strike drones on target. This is when the first bombs will definitely drop. Hegseth is trying to impress the group chat like he's the brother of the groom trying to fit in during the bachelor weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, no business. That information did not need to be shared. He seemed like he wanted to seem cool in front of his new friends. Now we just heard that level of detail, right? Let's circle back to that Senate hearing for a moment.
Was there any mention, Ms. Gabbard, of a weapon or weapons system?
I don't recall specific weapons systems being named.
I'm not talking about specific any weapon or weapons system.
I don't recall specific names of systems or weapons being used.
I think I understand what's happening. If you have a question about weapon stuff, you have to ask Gabbard's innie. I will say, Gabbard claiming not to recall messages she got 2 weeks ago is credible to me. Gabbard feels like one of those people with 300 unread texts. You forget she's even in the group chat until she pops up 3 days later with a, "Great job in Yemen, everyone. I lost my phone at the Kremlin, LOL." Following Goldberg's release of the damning specifics, intelligence officials were back in Congress to do some cleanup. Here's Tulsi again.
My answer yesterday was based on my recollection, or the lack thereof, on the details that were posted there. I was not, and the what was shared today reflects the fact that I was not directly involved with that part of the signal chat.
So it's your testimony that less than 2 weeks ago, you were on a signal chat that had all of this information about F-18s and MQ-9 Reapers and targets on strike, and you in that two-week period simply forgot that that was there. That's your testimony?
My testimony is I did not recall the exact details of what was included there.
Totally. One quick follow-up. Huh? Hegseth, for his part, continued to deny that any classified information was shared in the chat.
Nobody's texting war plans. There's no units,
No locations, no routes, no flight paths, no sources, no methods, no classified information.
And furthermore, I did not have a drink. There's no bitters, no vermouth, no schnapps, no olives, no lemon peels, no maraschino cherries. You accuse me of drinking, but where are the maraschino cherries? Hegseth moves the pawn diagonally 7 spaces, knocking over a rook and a bishop before resting next to the queen. Checkmate, bitches. A defense official familiar with the operation told reporters that the information Hegseth disclosed was indeed highly classified when he disclosed it and could have put lives at risk because the operation hadn't even begun. But you knew that. You knew that because you have never read in the newspaper that American F-18s will be on their way to bomb something in 2 hours. You have only heard about it after the fact because you do not have a security clearance and you are not Atlantic editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg. Attorney General Pam Bondi on Thursday did her part as a Trump lackey, opposing an investigation and claiming that the details of forthcoming strikes in Yemen were not classified.
If you want to talk about classified information, talk about what was at Hillary Clinton's home that she was trying to bleach bit. Talk about the classified documents in Joe Biden's garage that Hunter Biden had access to.
Yeah, we talked about that. Now we're talking about this. Because this just happened. We talk about new stuff more than the old stuff because we already talked about the old stuff. In 2016, we talked about Arrival and her emails. In 2025, we're talking about severance and we're talking about this. It's neither here nor there, but Pam Bondi is 59. She looks incredible. It's kind of terrifying, actually. Most of Trump's goons slowly look on the outside like they do on the inside, these sort of barely upright screeching gargoyles or vaguely like Ellen Burstyn in the third act of Requiem for a Dream. Anyway, just watch this space. Speaking of defying the laws of God and man, on Monday, the Justice Department once again refused to provide Judge James Boasberg additional information about 2 flights of Venezuelan immigrants sent to El Salvador in violation of his temporary ban. In their response to his request, Bondi, along with Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Homeland Security Secretary and former dog owner Kristi Noem, invoked the state secrets privilege, claiming that revealing flight details would potentially threaten national security. So I guess we all now sit tight and wait for somebody to accidentally add Maggie Haberman to the deportation slang. On Monday, a D.C. appeals court heard arguments about the Trump administration's use of the Alien Enemies Act for these deportations. Said federal appeals judge Patricia Millett, there were plane loads of people. There were no procedures in place to notify people. Nazis got better treatment under the Alien Enemies Act. And you should see how they treat the Nazis now. Added Millett, y'all could have picked me up on Saturday and thrown me on a plane thinking I'm a member of Tren de Aragua and given me no chance to protest it and say somehow it's a violation of presidential war powers for me to say, excuse me, no, I'm not. I'd like a hearing. And don't write that down in your planner. I can see counsel writing that down. Give him any ideas. On Wednesday, Noem toured El Salvador's Terrorism Confinement Center, the 40,000 inmate prison where Trump has sent the Venezuelans, like she does every month to relax and unwind. Only this time, a film crew was there. During her visit, Noem posed in front of dozens of shirtless men with shaved heads made to stand behind her for the photo op.
I also want everybody to know, if you come to our country illegally, this is one of the consequences you could face.
Having to meet me, Kristi Noem. She posed in front of Salvadorian prisoners held indefinitely by the right-wing government there, not the Venezuelans the administration claims are gang members, nor the several people the administration has kidnapped, even though they had applied for immigration status through legal means and seemed to only be guilty of having unrelated tattoos, including this tattoo about autism awareness. On the bright side, a lot of guys in Tren de Aragua are going to be a little bit more aware of autism. Those hostages were never given a chance to notify family or call lawyers or speak to a judge and have no idea that right now there are people fighting for their freedom. They're just trapped in an Orwellian nightmare with no visitors or ways to communicate with the outside world in a country that is not their own with no end in sight. Punchline TBD. Now Republicans are trying to claim that by talking about this or being upset about this, we're falling into a trap. No, we already fell in the trap. The election was a big pit covered with fucking leaves, and we fell in it. And we don't totally know how to get out. But I'm casting my lot with the people clawing at the walls, not the people sitting in the center, hoping somebody else will figure it out. Punchline TBD. On Friday, Columbia University caved to the Trump administration, which had demanded a number of policy changes in order to restore $400 million in unrelated federal funding. This includes placing the curriculum and hiring decisions of the university's Middle East Studies Department, among several others, in control of a new provost. Also, Women and Gender Studies is now called the Ugly Woke Bitches Department. Too far. It's too far. Remember when conservatives worried about free speech on campus? You would think they might notice that the president determining hiring decisions in particular departments of a private university might be some kind of an infringement on free inquiry, free association, and freedom of speech. And yet they don't seem to care. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that after all these years about hearing about the threat to free speech on campus, it turns out it was students yelling. That was the threat, not the federal government telling a university in Manhattan, no less, who can be in charge of various departments, setting policy. The president of the United States, who should be busier, is basically making himself a board member of Columbia University, making specific policy decisions about what happens on this private campus. And Columbia, this institution of higher learning, this American institution as old as the country, supposedly a defender of liberal values, small l, liberal values, basic free inquiry, the freedom of expression, of curiosity, of intellectual enterprise, they fucking cave. They fucking cave, which means they're more afraid of Trump than they're afraid of their alumni, than they're afraid of their faculty, than they're afraid of their students. I wonder if they're right, because right now it seems like they're right. It seems like they're right to be more afraid of Trump than they are of the people, because there were a lot of protests at Columbia last year. Where are the protests now? Donald Trump is daring us. Every day he's daring us. And I'm part of it. I'm part of the, I care about this. I pay attention to this. But I'm part of the problem because every day I treat like a normal day. I'm being part of the problem. All of us do. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have to live our lives. But he is doing just enough. He is going dark enough. He is going far enough, just to the edge of where it would be unacceptable for us to have a normal night. But we all do. Right? We pay attention. We think the news is harrowing. Let's talk about something else. We're all doing that. We're all doing it every day. I'm not saying we're wrong. I'm not judging it. I'm doing the same thing. But how much worse does it have to get before it feels strange to just be in a restaurant? It's not that much worse. But he knows that. They know that. Maybe it's purposeful. Maybe it's the luck of this kind of reckless, haphazard way of doing business. Maybe it's the combination of their malevolence and incompetence. But they are doing just enough to scare us, to threaten us, but to let us at night turn on our fucking Real Housewives, right? And turn our brains off and to have the normal parts of our lives, right? To plan a trip over the summer, to plan a wedding. And I don't know how much longer that can go on, but right now, those of us that are paying attention are wondering why so many others who aren't paying attention don't think it's so bad. And a little bit of that is on us. And I don't know what it's going to take, and I don't know how bad it gets before we wake up, but the test for all of us is going to be what it looks like when we actually wake up. And I don't know what the answer is, but I think it starts by wondering what it will take for institutions, even the craven, feckless, pathetic, valueless institutions, are more scared of us than they are of Donald Trump. Because right now, they are correct to be more scared of Donald Trump. And at some point, that has to change. And I don't know what it looks like, but it has to change. I'll tell you one place where we're trying to change it is, so I went to Wisconsin just to kind of knock on doors, be part of these canvases to see what's happening there as they're fighting the Supreme Court race. And one of the reasons it's so important is Elon Musk has dropped $13 million into this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Why? So that they can install a MAGA guy on the Supreme Court, someone that will rule in Musk's favor. They have a lawsuit in Wisconsin, but also somebody that if they challenge elections, that they have a favorable court, someone that'll put back in place an abortion ban, someone that will make sure that they don't have fair maps in Wisconsin. Wisconsin had this gerrymandered both assembly map and congressional map. Wisconsin, 50-50 state. Famously, it goes back and forth, right? They have six Republican members of Congress and two Democrats. 6-2. It's a 50-50 state. Why? Because the supermajority in the Republican legislature drew those maps. And we finally have a chance. We have a progressive majority on that court that just put in place fair assembly maps. It allowed Democrats to pick up a bunch of seats and break that supermajority. The same thing could happen for the congressional maps. Not saying Republicans won't, they'll be able to win their seats. It just won't be as unfair. They'll have to fight for them. And they don't want that. They want to take back that court. And right now, a bunch of Republicans in that state and a bunch of Republicans across the country are watching What's going to matter more? Is it going to be people being angry at what Musk and Trump are doing? Or is it going to be Musk's money that wins the day? Because if the money wins, then all these House members who are going to have to decide whether or not to vote for reconciliation, are going to have to decide whether or not to vote for tax cuts for billionaires and Medicaid cuts, even though it's bad for their constituents. They have to decide, what are they more afraid of? Are they afraid of Musk dropping money on their heads in a primary and standing with their voters? Or are they going to stick with Musk, have Musk money in the fall of 2026 to protect them from the wrath of the voters when they do something awful for their district? And what's happening in Wisconsin is one of the first big tests of that, which is why if you're hearing this and you have friends in Wisconsin, text them. Text anyone you know who lives in Wisconsin to make sure they turn out and vote for Judge Susan Crawford to protect abortion, protect democracy, and stop Elon Musk from buying an election. If you want to do something in the last days, this election is on Tuesday, April 1st, go to Vote Save America and sign up. We have to win this. If we want to turn the tide, it's going to start there. Okay. And it was great, by the way. And if anybody listening to this came out, it was great to see you. It's also, by the way, anyone listening, find one of these events. Go to these town halls. Go to these gatherings where Republicans aren't having town halls. We have to get out of our houses. We have to get off our phones. We have to be among people. The phones are a big part of the problem. Expecting to think we can solve this from our fucking screens is the problem. So if you're hearing this, go to votesaveamerica.com. Find a town hall. Get out of your house. Go be among people. Solidarity is not just about politics. It's about the kind of communities we live in, the society we live in. You can't make it at home. So please, please, please go to Vote Save America and sign up. All right. On Wednesday, thank you, whatever. That's great. On Wednesday, a video of Tufts student and Turkish national Remeza Ozturk being arrested by masked ICE agents hit the internet. First, you only get into Tufts. And then this. That's all right. On Thursday, Marco Rubio confirmed that Ozturk's F-1 visa had been revoked for her activism. Here's what he told reporters.
Every country in the world has a right to decide who comes in as a visitor and who doesn't. But we're going to do the same thing if you come into the United States as a visitor and create a ruckus for us. We don't want it. We don't want it in our country. Go back and do it in your country. But you're not going to do it in our country.
So there's no evidence she was actually involved in any of what he criticized. He talked about vandalism, arrests, occupying buildings. She wrote an op-ed. And others who might share that opinion were a party to a ruckus. What the fuck is a ruckus? What's the standard here? You are associated with a ruckus? You are loosely affiliated with a ruckus? Can you be deported for a hullabaloo? Can you be arrested by plainclothes officers for having attended a brouhaha? To put this in context, Axios reported Thursday that the Trump administration is considering banning all foreign students from schools that it has deemed as having too many students who are, in their words, pro-Hamas. An official even threatened the possibility of decertifying colleges and universities altogether. And then what happens? Where'd all the late bloomers go to lose their virginity? Trade schools? Those kids all fucked in high school. Speaking of people that did not fuck in high school, Vice President J.D. Vance said Tuesday that he will accompany his wife Usha on a visit to Greenland later this week after the announcement of her trip was met with criticism. This was supposed to be a girl's trip, screamed Ramona over a Pinot Grigio. On Wednesday, the Vances reportedly changed their travel itinerary, limiting their trip to Greenland's only American military base, U.S. Space Force outpost Pitifik. Yes, you simply must go to Pitifik in the spring. I've heard they have an incredible Domino's pizza. Said Danish Foreign Minister Lars Rasmussen, I actually think it's very positive that the Americans are canceling their visit to the Greenlandic community. They will instead make a visit to their own base, Pitifik, and we have nothing against that. You can't tell because the Danish people are so polite, but he just told J.D. Vance to kill himself. According to a Danish journalist, American officials knocked on doors in Nuuk ahead of the Vance's visit to find local families open to welcoming the second lady, but found no takers. But of course they don't. They don't have any powers until you invite them in. Has no one seen Buffett? They were all invited. They were seniors. Oh, you were talking about the show? I'm only talking about the movie. People talking about the show. I'm only talking about them. The movie's fucking great. Here at home, the White House has invited corporations to sponsor its Easter egg roll next month, asking companies to pay between $75,000 and $200,000 for branded snacks, logo placements at the event, and for the biggest spenders, tickets to have brunch with Melania. And get this, $500,000 gets you dinner with Don Jr. And for a million, you can skip it. In the White House's defense, doing this kind of sponsorship was the only way they could afford to buy that many eggs. It's about prices. Pope Francis, who is still alive, made his first public appearance on Sunday before being discharged from the hospital where he has spent the last 5 weeks being treated for pneumonia. He's doing great. It's wonderful news for the Pope. Terrible news for my Pope pool. I don't have a Pope pool. The head of the Pope's medical team told reporters that the Pope came so close to death at one point that his doctors considered stopping treatment to let him die in peace. But in response, Pope Francis said, "No." No. I'm all right here. It's not Italian. DoorDash. DoorDash announced a new partnership with Klarna, which will allow users to pay for their food in installments over time. Using a payment plan to buy a cold cheeseburger delivered by a school teacher trying to make rent? That's the second ingredient on the New York Times cooking app recipe for perfectly al dente Luigi's. I'm building a recipe over time. You have to listen over many episodes to understand the recipe. In other financial news about companies taking advantage of people when they're literally out of cash, the Senate voted to stop the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau from capping overdraft fees to $5. The rule could have saved hundreds of dollars for people who overdraw their accounts, but the bank successfully lobbied Republicans to keep their overdraft fees coming, which brought almost $6 billion in revenue in 2023. Just want to say, so far, we're getting a lot more national than we're getting socialism, if you ask me. I thought they'd sprinkle in a little more Z in with the nah. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of nah, not enough Z. It's the whole promise. A little bit of Z. Just like nah, nah, nah. Getting hit in the face with all this nah. Where's the Z? Kermit the Frog. You find trying light stories. Kermit the Frog will deliver the commencement address at the University of Maryland this spring. Kermit was a last-minute replacement after they originally had booked Animal, who had to step down from the gig due to a series of racist and anti-Semitic messages he left in the comment section of nudeafrica.com. Strange. And finally, the Washington Post wrote an ode to the Centennial Bulb, an incandescent light bulb that has been burning since 1901 and has only been turned off a few times in its 124-year lifespan, each time with the assistance of 32 Pollocks. It seems like just yesterday I was screwing it in for the first time, reminisced Joe Biden. All right, up next, it's Barbie Ferreira.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Viya. If you haven't tried Viya yet, you're seriously missing out. Whether you need to unwind, refocus, or just pretend you have your life together, Viya is here to enhance your everyday. And let's be honest, probably your night too. 500,000 happy customers can't be wrong. Viya is changing the game in natural wellness, combining high-quality hemp-derived ingredients with powerful cannabinoids to create real, effect-driven results. Want better sleep, more focus, a little boost in the bedroom, or maybe you just need to chill out because you're boosting the bedroom.
Yeah, just throw that
just,
right in.
Wow. Or maybe you just need to chill out because your stress levels are currently at screaming into the void status. Whatever you need, Viya has a solution for you. And here's the best part. Viya lets you customize your experience. Whether you're looking for daily wellness, laser focus, or deep relaxation, Viya has it. What if you're someone screaming into the void in the bedroom? With products ranging from zero to high cannabinoid levels, they've got options for everybody. We're talking award-winning effect-forward gummies to calming drops, all made with organic, lab-tested hemp from trusted independent American farms. And you don't have to jump through hoops or get some weird doctor's note. Viya legally ships nationwide discreetly. No medical card required, no sketchy parking lot meetups. Okay.
Weird.
Yeah, just straight to your door with a worry-free guarantee. Not sure where to start? No worries. Viya has a product finder quiz that will hook you up with the perfect match in less than 60 seconds. So if you're 21 plus, check out the link to Viya in our description and use the code LOVEIT to receive 15% off, free shipping on orders over $100. And if you're new to Viya, get a free gift of your choice. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Enhance your everyday with Viya.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. She's got hundreds of outfits, dozens of jobs, and Wikipedia says she was born in 1959. Put your elbowless arms together for the iconic Barbie Ferreira.
I like that. 1959.
Thank you for being here.
Of course, thank you for having me.
So you're in a new dramedy.
Yes, I am.
Which is a drama with jokes.
Got a couple of jokes. I don't think any of the jokes are on purpose. Like, you kind of we were by accident funny in the whole movie.
They emerge from character.
Yes, darling. Yes, darling. Exactly.
That's how you know they're good.
Yeah.
It's called Bob Trevino Likes It.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's a movie about how Facebook can be good sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Do I agree? I mean, it's got to be. I mean, it's inspired by a true story, so I think the director would say yes. I haven't had a Facebook since I was 14, which was like 2 years ago, so I wouldn't know.
I got locked out of my Facebook somewhere around 2017.
Mm-hmm. Probably the best.
And I can't get back in.
You can't get back in?
No.
How do you do Marketplace? How do you do Facebook Marketplace?
I don't.
You don't?
No, I just drive around with my pickup truck looking for stuff.
You just give it out for free. Listen, people do that, okay?
Yeah, I know, but
listen,
it's not
I grew up in New York in the 90s. I had bed bugs in Queens, baby. We don't do that anymore.
You had bed bugs?
It was Queens in the 90s. Who did it?
Yeah, everybody had bed bugs. There were bed bugs at the AMC Times Square, I believe. I don't want to get sued for defamation.
And Bob Trevino is not showing in that theater right now, so
it was a long time ago.
Okay, good.
It was a long time ago. I think they figured it out.
I really hope so.
When I lived in New York, I would, in the middle of the day, go to McDonald's, and I'd wear cargo shorts, and I'd put a Big Mac in my left pocket, and I'd put the fries in the right pocket, and then I'd go to the movies.
Oh, that's genius. I, like, bring a whole bag. If I'm going alone, I'll bring, like, a little yogurt, a little bit different than McDonald's, but, you know, a little bit classier, but yeah. We'll see. But I have, like, my like, little snacks in there, and then I'm trying not to be, like, loud, but I think they catch it on.
Yogurt at the movies?
I did. It was like a bit too much. But I was having a great time. I think it was Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I was crying with like a wooden spoon in my glass yogurt.
Oh, no plastic. That's good.
No, I'm great. I'm a good person. Yeah.
You don't do plastic? Do you have a wooden spoon? Was it your wooden spoon or one of those disposable ones? Or were you using like a
reusable one? Okay.
Like a mixing spoon.
Well,
I'm
no.
picturing a mixing spoon.
I believe it was from a farm shop in New Mexico, actually.
The yogurt?
No, the spoon. But yeah. If you want.
Have you ever been worried about being catfished?
Yeah. I'm sure I have been.
Oh, yeah.
I just haven't, like, seen it.
Oh, it's just ongoing. Well, the question...
It never stops.
Well, because I guess if you never find out that you were catfished, were you?
That's a really good
well,
question.
Well, there's, like, a philosophical experiment. So, let's say...
Uh-huh.
Okay. You were deciding whether or not to take the bus or the train on a trip.
Okay.
And unbeknownst to you, the bus had broken down. You didn't know that, but the bus had broken down. If you had decided to take the bus and gone to the bus station, there was no bus. There was only the train. So even if you had chosen the bus, you'd have ended up on the train. But you didn't know that. You picked the train.
Right.
Did you? Did you pick the train or do you only think you took the train?
Bro.
Right? But here's the thing. You would, if you said to yourself, I picked the train, you went to the train station, you took the train, you would die never knowing you didn't have a choice.
That's incredible and beautiful. I wasn't expecting all this.
Neither
was
I.
Poetry coming from tonight.
It's a strange show.
It's great.
But what do you think? Do you think you chose the train or do you think that you didn't have a choice?
I think that my intuition was so strong that I knew the train was the right bet.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have a big social media following.
And it's getting lower every day, baby.
That's cool.
And every day it gets worse, so.
Do you think we should shut it all down?
I think about this all the time. I'm like, yeah, but then at the same time, like, where am I going to, like, learn about, like, Great Lakes and, like, murders and stuff?
Yeah, I get a lot of good recipes from TikTok.
Oh, I get great recipes.
Do you make the viral Turkish pasta?
Oh, I haven't, but I've heard.
You got it.
Well, I got to do it. I make a lot of my stuff from TikTok, a lot of my food. But my algorithm on it is pretty good.
What are you making?
What did I make? Last night, I made a soup.
A soup?
I went to H Mart. And then I got a bunch of stuff for a soup, a sundubu soup.
Oh, sundubu soup.
Yeah.
H Mart is a Korean grocer. Were you in Koreatown?
Yes, I was.
Nice.
And then so we did a little trip there. I got some like water chestnut. This is riveting, I'm sure, for this whole audience. Kimchi, and I just made it into a beautiful little soup. It was wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
You also made your Broadway debut last year in Cult of Love.
I sure did.
How many nights a week?
6 days a week, and then we do 8 shows. One time we did 9 shows because of the holiday schedule.
Wow.
Wow, they don't tell you that.
Do you think they should just film it and then show it so that you don't have to do it over and over again? It seems crazy.
Have they thought about that?
We've beaten the technology exists.
You know what? Some days I was like, yeah, they probably should have just like recorded it because I wasn't doing it. But you know, that's the beauty of live performance.
I love it. But wait.
Why don't we record this without an audience then, huh? A little laugh track?
Well, I'll tell you something. You're raising an interesting point, which is we take this show on the road, and I love doing it. I love getting to go across the country doing this show. But this show, we put out every episode, so every episode is new, every single one. Every time we do the show,
right,
we start from a blank page, a blank canvas
that
we paint for all of you.
Yeah.
But and then I will be on the road, and like a friend of mine who's a comedian will be in that town, and they'll be like, "Oh, what are you doing today? Like, what do you mean, what I'm doing today? I'm sitting in a hotel room, we're writing this show for the people." But when you do theater, you do the same show every night,
the same exact thing.
But you get all the applause, which feeds us and keeps us alive.
Of course, yeah.
But during the day, that's your time.
And then some days you don't. I'd be like, I literally would, like the Saturday matinees, they weren't into me. Just letting you know, right there.
It's
but
a
then the Saturday
crowd.
Evenings, ooh, I killed.
Do you think Saturday night is the best night? When did you bring your A-game?
I brought my A-game every day, of course, every single show.
Sure.
If any Broadway casting directors are listening in. No. Every single day, I brought it all. You know what's funny? I think Tuesday night was like, meh. But then like randomly, like a Wednesday night would just be like, I just feel like a rock star. I love it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do you think that that Wednesday night is different because you also did a Wednesday day show?
Well, we started off doing Wednesday day shows. Well, we started off doing Saturday and Sunday matinees, which was crazy. It means 5 show weekends. I know. Oh, poor me. Poor actresses. And yeah, and so but when we started doing it on Wednesday, it was much better. But the matinee crowd was funny. A lot of like people would just start talking at me on stage. Yeah.
Hecklers on Broadway?
You would think it's hecklers, but I think they're just confused.
Well, it's the matinee crowds are older, right?
I would say so, yeah. Not to generalize.
No.
But they were, you know.
No, I think, this is to generalize.
That we are generalizing.
Let's generalize.
They were older, for sure. And thus.
How could you say that?
How could you possibly say these people were older? But then they would wake up, and there's one time I was a very. Cult of Love was a great play, okay? Yes, people were. Some people may have slept and woken up and then screamed at me during a very powerful scene with me and Zachary Quinto.
Because they were
but
scared.
Okay.
Zachary Quinto was on this show.
He sure was.
Oh, I remember we talked about Cult of Love.
Oh, did you now? What'd you say?
That he said that their people would scream at him at the matinees.
Right, every time. Or like ringtones are back. Ringtones are back, baby.
So I remember during the post 9/11 years, I remember Dick Cheney would always be like, "We have to get it right every time, but the terrorists only need to get it right once. We got to stop every single time they try to get us, and the terrorists, they only have to get through once. We have to always succeed. They can fail a million times. If they succeed once, they've done it." That's what it is with the phones.
Uh-huh.
Because you can look at a theater of 2,000 fucking people. If
yep.
one person can't think to turn off their goddamn ringer, you're all exposed. You're
it's
all
horrible.
Exposed. You know what's crazy? Our phones have do not disturb mode.
They do, and I love that mode.
But that just means their normal mode is disturb mode.
Yeah. You know what my favorite is? When people will send anyways, those people are monsters. Because you have the option of, if you have do not disturb, they will send it anyways. Monsters.
Do you have
Get them out of your life.
Do you have your chatting pals where it's like, you're driving, you have 15 minutes, they're just you have your list of 3 to 5 people that you just go through your phone and call?
I'm very popular, so yes.
And do you have friends where they'll call twice? They'll just ring you twice, just for no, like, I'm just trying again.
I will immediately think it's an emergency.
Yeah,
and
so you answer. That's the idea.
And it works every time.
Yeah. Spencer and I double ring each other. Because, like, get the fucking phone. I'm calling. This is a good time for me.
Yeah. It's a good time for me. I totally agree with you. But it's also just like you're, the do not disturb of it all, and the double calling. It comes with an intimacy of friendship that I think some people just don't have the social, they just don't understand. I'm like, why are you calling me in the middle of the night?
Well, you know, we're of different generations. And so I think we have a different, are you a calling person?
I love to call.
See, I love to call too.
But I like to text too.
I'm not into texting. I think it was a mistake.
I agree. I retext wrong all the time. I think like the people are mad at me.
Oh yeah.
And then, but they're not. They're like, or I seem like I'm mad at them, but it's actually great.
Well, it's that there's no correct way to end the conversation. Mm. And it's like, and I know there's nothing wrong with it. And it's like not a judgment of me personally, but if you're in the middle of a conversation, going back and going forth, it's slowing down a little bit. And then you reply one last time, and then you get the thumbs up, the emoji to end the conversation. I don't even know what those are. They're not emojis. They're
like reactions.
They're reactions. Yes, yes, yes. The reaction to end the conversation. It's like, oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to like offend you.
Sorry. No, we're done. I guess we're done.
Texts are scary, and there's like different languages for everyone. I mean, if you're talking to someone different age brackets, like it's just completely different. You never know what the vibes are.
Who's the oldest person you text?
50s. Yeah.
Should get older. Should go older.
Older?
Let's find some older people.
I would love to have older friends.
Great. Now, I want to hear a little bit about your dog and its diet situation.
Oh, yeah. My dog, Cowboy.
Yeah. What's happening? Do you just give people a little bit of a...
Guys, this is a crazy story, so please buckle up. So I was on Broadway. And so when I brought my dog to New York... And my mom just...
you asked about my dog. I was on Broadway.
So I was on Broadway. Yeah, I was on Broadway. Critically acclaimed, too. New York Times Critics' Choice.
Critics' fucking choice.
Picks or whatever. Anywho, so my mom decided to kidnap my dog, and she's a private chef. And so she spent all day just cooking for him, like these beautiful like anchovies and like... liver with like every single day a different menu. And so now I have to cook for my dog every day. I meal prep for him. Like I'll get like some bagged like frozen veggies, and then uh-huh. I made him like an ancestral bison the other day, and I was like angrily making it too. I was like, do you even know? He's also like a mutt. Like he like literally like lived on the street for a year, but he deserves it. He's sweet.
What's ancestral about it? It's ancient meat?
I think they just do it just to like
ancestral bison.
Ancestral bison. I don't know. It was bison $15.
Doesn't all bison presumably have ancestors?
I assume so.
It'd be more interesting if it was a bison without ancestors.
The GMO like, bisons, baby. You can't track it. Yeah.
These are like people get
mind
those
open to that.
Like heritage bison, like heritage turkeys. People get those fancier turkeys.
Yes.
Not the butterball ones that have been in defiance of God's will made enormous.
Waddling around.
Yeah, too big.
Too big.
Too big. They're like, I'm not supposed to be here.
No, this bison was just right. This bison was just right, and now my little mutt cowboy can eat and, you know.
But your dog got real fat, right?
He did. And my mom kept going, because he's 3 years old, and she kept going like, oh, you need a new collar soon. He's outgrowing it. I'm like, Mom, he is not growing. Like, he is getting bigger. And she's like, oh, and like I had to, you know, and also there's like a 15-pound weight limit thing when you like travel with them. I was a little bit scared about bringing him back to LA.
Oh, yeah.
But we're good now. We're good.
Yeah. You'd have to put him in. You have to like kind of squeeze him into one of those.
I just hoped for the best. And they usually don't. If he's so small in when you look at him, I mean, obviously he's very chunky and dense now, but.
Yeah, no, he's dead. But yeah, they don't care about density. They don't check for density. There's no density limit. The dog could be a black hole, really. It could be a dwarf star. It just has to fit in that fucking container.
I love it. And that's Cowboy.
And that's Cowboy. I used to travel back and forth with my dog, and that was back when you could get your friend to say that you had emotional needs.
Oh, yes.
But the government cracked down on that.
They did. You can't get away with that no more.
Nope. They stopped that.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, probably for the best, I guess.
Just the LA people who bought their emotional support certificate can't go to the front of the line with their dogs.
I just think emotional support dogs, real or fake, make the whole world a better place, and we should have them on the planes. And I don't really have a problem with it.
I do think so.
I think it got out of hand because people were like, oh, this is my emotional support donkey. And it's like, well, we can't deal with that now.
Well, then you were hearing stories about hamsters and guinea pigs and, oh my, just all sorts of things.
My view is, let it be a menagerie.
There's I love it. There's, that falcon from Dubai?
Sure. A falcon from Dubai.
Maybe that's just internet lore that doesn't exist, but I bought it. My media literacy, low.
Bob Trevino Likes It is in theaters.
It sure is.
When we come back.
And not at the AMC Bedbug one.
No, that was many years ago. And again, I can't verify that. And you have to verify it for yourself. Just something I remember from my time living in the Big Apple. When we come back, Jared Goldstein's going to join.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It, brought to you by Quince. If you're planning to go on vacation soon, you should treat yourself to a first-class quality suitcase at an economy price tag from Quince. John just went on a trip.
Yes, I did. And I needed some warm clothing because I saw snow for the first time in a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a nice sweater from Quince.
Nice.
Mongolian cashmere.
Vacation season is nearly upon us. This year, I'm treating myself to the luxe upgrades I deserve with Quince's high-quality travel essentials at fair prices, like lightweight shirts and shorts from $30, pants for any occasion, and comfortable lounge sets. With premium luggage options and durable duffel bags to carry it all, the best part, all Quince items are 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts down on the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. We love Quince. It's a great place. You can go check it for everyday essentials that are incredibly reasonably priced and really well made. Some great sheets from Quince. And when I was shopping, I went to Quince and then I went to a bunch of higher end brands, and side by side, it was like a no brainer. So everybody go to Quince for your next trip. Treat yourself to the luxe upgrades you deserve from Quince. Go to quince.com/loveit for 365 day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's quince.com/loveit. To get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/loveit.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back! Joining us now is the Ken to our Barbie minus the smooth plastic genitals.
Oh!
It's Jared Goldstein.
I have very hairy, rough genitals.
I believe you.
Hi. What's up? Hi. Hello. What's up?
We're fake. We hugged back there.
We did.
It's okay.
I'm drunk, Jared. But that's okay, right?
What?
I'm drunk, but that's okay,
for
right?
Sure.
You had one can of wine.
I know. I haven't been drinking, and it hit hard.
You had a can of wine?
I had a can.
L.A., wow. Baby.
Can I just say?
Yes.
Barbie Ferreira is the coolest name a person can have.
Thank you. Well, my real name is Barbara. Boo.
Hey, that's still cool. It's still very cool. And I love seeing that on the flyer next to the second coolest name a person can have, Jared Goldstein.
Baby.
Jared.
Barbie.
it's like God's going through the thing. It's like, wait, I have one extra Jared Goldstein who's a comedian. I'm missing an orthodontist. Yeah. Thank you for being here, Jared.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're both in the public eye.
To the same extent.
What I want to talk about today, because you're both...
What are we both?
Yeah, we're both in the public eye.
In the public eye. You've been a model.
I sure have.
And you could be. You could be.
I have.
And you have.
I have been a model.
You have? What'd you model?
It was in a newspaper. So you know it's good. And it was toys for Christmas, honey.
What kind of toys?
Yeah.
What kind of toys?
Just like a lot of toys. I don't know. It was like
wooden, plastic. What?
Yeah, it was like we were on a couch and there was like a lot of us and like, you know. But I was in it and it was a photo and they printed it.
I believe him.
I was a model.
So I want you guys to both watch my gait and see why it's so weird.
Okay. Spoiler alert, it's because he's gay.
No,
oh, shit.
No, it's not. Because I've gone to the parades. It's not that. Okay. I'm gonna just walk normally. I'm gonna try to get out of my head about it because it's gonna be strange.
No, literally
it's
get
so
out
hard
of your head.
To walk like normally when you're thinking about it.
I know why. Your shoulders
up,
are too tight.
Up,
your shoulders
up,
are too
up.
Tight.
Listen
your
up.
Shoulders are drop
no,
your shoulders.
No. Baby, no.
Yeah, wait, do it again. Wait, no, okay.
No
I'm
going to
take a deep breath. Close your eyes. No one's here. It's just you.
No, I know. I know.
No, I know.
All right, here we go. See, it's weird.
I think it's the shoulders, but also the legs.
I think this is going to work. You can work with this.
Can I commend you for... that is actually how you walk, and you actually did walk the way you actually walk.
You're right.
And that's huge. Give him a round of applause. That was very vulnerable.
There's something strange about the gait.
Yeah.
I think it's the posture.
I'm seeing the letter R.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which direction? Where is my head?
At the top.
And where?
Like, I'm seeing a lowercase R.
Oh, lowercase.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, I want your shoulders down and back, chin in, and also just take a, like you were saying,
yeah,
relax.
Just like, relax, babe, relax.
Hey, have you seen this video that went viral this week? From influencer Ashton Hall cataloging his 1,000 step morning routine.
Yes!
All right, let's see a clip.
Awesome. Saratoga, baby. Oh, where is it?
Wow.
Have you seen
that? No.
It's awesome. I love the journaling.
The purple light.
A little detox with internet with the phone. It's ice water with Saratoga. Yeah, right. Dip. Right. Got to get a dip in there. 905,
really?
Another bucket of water.
We got to go ahead and get at least 10,000.
We
got to
get
at least 10,000.
So
lighting can be anything. You know what I mean?
First of all, I love this video. So just so people understand, his routine started at like 3:45 a.m.
No, it didn't. He's a liar.
But
okay.
He claims. He says it starts at 3:45 a.m. and he sits down to work at 9:15 a.m., which is... 5.5 hours of morning routine.
He brushes teeth for 5 hours. His gums are gone.
Yeah.
He jumps in the pool and he kills like 10 minutes in just the dive. If he dives.
There's a sign behind him that says no diving.
And he does it anyway.
He's a bad boy. That's influencing. It's amazing. And then you're like, well, what does he do? And I guess this is what he does, he's some sort of life coach. And people see the morning routine and think, I want to be like him. But how does... And have his life. Well, what is his life? It's telling people to do the morning routine. He just filmed.
It actually is. And there's a beautiful woman. I don't know if she's actually beautiful, but she has great nails, and I love a good nail. And she's always making him food or like strapping on his weighted vest.
Yes. There is a nameless, faceless woman who is providing services.
Free her!
Throughout, for sure. For sure. Free her.
Who is she?
We don't know.
Is she getting paid?
It's so unclear. It's so strange. There's also something so... The ideal morning routine is a routine that has these steps that can only exist if you're responsible to no one.
To no one.
That there's no child that's interrupting your... That there's no spouse who needs you to do them something. That, like, you are an isolated being who's responsible only to yourself. And that kind of perfecting your day requires...
Complete isolation.
Complete isolation. Yeah. 5 hours of morning isolation. I mean, we're only up for 16.
Yeah, he's in a lot. He's in a lot of pain. That man.
He's in a lot of pain. Also, he eats a banana and rubs it on his face.
He does.
Okay, film Matt.
I think we have it.
Hello.
There you go,
bitch.
What's that? What's in the banana?
Well, as the expert,
I don't know. I actually, I did hear that it does nothing.
Yeah,
so
no.
That's what I read that. It in a very factual tweet. So
I'm gonna start doing the ice thing though. That looked good.
Yeah.
I want to start doing two ice plunges in the morning or just one just to start.
He's handsome. I mean, it's
working.
Sure. It's like, something's working.
There's so much going right in his life that you like, it's like this half, like I admire him so much, but then I'm so repulsed by everything that's happening that it's just like, oh, you really feel for these people.
Well, this is the start of the pyramid scheme. I mean, everyone's always selling packages of like how to get rich.
Right.
Yeah. That's the internet thing. So this is the start.
Which is a perfect segue into And you know what that sound means. It's time for a segment we're calling The Shame Game. As you mentioned, all of these things are in some way leading to a business, to a product. All right. Social media taketh, but it also giveth. A million new problems to hyper-scrutinize our bodies for and ultimately get us to buy things or do things. Jared and Barbie, I'm going to give you a new micro-insecurity courtesy of TikTok. Oh. And you will rank them on a scale from 1 to 5, with 1 being, I would never be insecure about this, and 5 being, I have to leave the stage immediately and squat naked over a full-length mirror to make sure I don't have this.
This is like my everyday life. Let's do it.
Okay, the actual scale. So the scale is going to go, if it's a 1, it's a nice try, TikTok. If it's 2, it's, wait, that's what my head looks like from behind. 3 is, sure, but there's a cream for that. 4 is panic ordering dozens of turtlenecks on Amazon at 3 a.m. And 5 is booking the flight to Turkey.
Booking the flight to Turkey. Gotta go to Turkey. The smile, the hair, get it all in there.
Come get
on.
It all in there.
Get it all in
get
there.
Get all in there. It seems fun. It seems fun. I'm gonna go to Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
No, I see why. I know Turkey's there. I wanna be in a place where if something goes wrong, I can sue.
No, totally.
I like it. I like that.
Gotta be able to sue. It's the only way to level the playing field. The doctor is always so powerful, but not when they know you can sue. First up, a few years ago, hip dips, or the naturally occurring indentation between the hip sock and upper thigh that some people have, became something to destroy, to embrace, or potentially both. Jared and Barbie, they say hips don't lie, but do they have you obsessively staring in the mirror every morning in your new leggings? Where do you rank this potential insecurity on a scale of 1 to 5?
I've always had hip dips, and woo! That's right, anatomy, baby. I would say 1. I mean, like, hip dips? I mean, like, come on. Everyone got it.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on
hip dips? I think it's a 1 for sure, because I didn't even know, based on this picture, if this was something to get or something to stop. Like,
well,
I really
it's
genuinely,
obviously disgusting.
I didn't know. I was like, is this the ideal we're all striving for, but is impossible, or is this something everyone has and must get rid of?
Yeah. The line gets blurred every day.
Right.
Speaking of a blurry line, I'll say this is the last part of a woman's body I was ever attracted to, and for that reason, I'm supportive of it.
Okay.
The first was her mind.
The mind.
Yeah.
And
I'm
boobs?
Still attracted to that part, though.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Are you?
No.
Free her.
Free her. Free her. Free her. Free her. Let's find out her name and free her. All right. That's a 1. Next up, we have something called Irish hair.
Oh.
According to TikTok, Irish hair or Irish curls describes an inconsistent curl pattern in which a person's hair is straight
Jewish hair too.
At the top and curlier underneath. That's right, sure, Jewish hair.
Yeah.
Jared and Barbie, does Irish hair have your eyes smiling, or are you ready to Aaron go bra to the bathroom?
Bro, who the fuck cares, bro?
I'm like you. I'm going to Beverly Hills, not to Turkey, because I have a guy who helps me with it.
Oh, you get a little keratin?
Yeah. I do it in the very front and in the very back.
Wow.
Well, you have different
Not right
patterns.
Now. Right now I'm like, I'm just, you're this is me perfect. Natural right now, but okay. I'm done. I'm sick of it.
You're sick of it. You
time to go back. So I'm a 5.
You know, I really,
He's 10, a 5. Let's say it.
He's a 5. He's a 5. I'm a 1. I know. I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
Literally, yes, get a Dyson Airwrap if it bothers you that much.
I think like, look, as somebody who has struggled to use his money to buy hairlines via Beverly Hills doctors and then successfully done that several times.
Yeah.
You're in.
No, absolutely. I find that, like, basically as someone who has, like, been obsessed with their own hairline and just basically observe hairlines like very closely. I find that people with amazing hair, present company included, they talk about hair with the kind of like, they're like upper deck Titanic passengers talking about the accommodations. You know, they're like, I don't like the view from my room. And meanwhile, like, I'm down here with the fucking rats. And they're like, oh, I go for a keratin treatment because they're a little curly in front, but a little curly in the back. It's like, fuck you. We're just we just want, you know, down here with Jack and Rose, we just want coverage.
I know.
coverage.
We just want coverage.
You're so right.
I hear about hairlines all day, by the way.
I have to check my privilege so much in that way. One time I told this woman, she was like, what's the secret? What are you doing with your hair? Please tell me what to do with my hair. And I was like, here's what it is. Nothing. And she looked so mad.
Yeah, for sure.
She looked so
mad.
For sure.
But what I'm saying is the health of your hair is the value. So don't burn your hair. Do nothing, essentially. But then, you know, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Male pattern baldness will come for you no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I hear.
Yeah.
I hear all day. I hear all day about it. It's like truly the talk of the town all day. Hairline. I kind of am like, you know, if guys have one thing to worry about, it's hairline. I'm like, all right.
It's fine. Jason Statham, like, gee, it's just fine.
You got to have such a specific head to pull that off.
You do.
Everybody's like, oh, Bruce Willis, Jason Statham. Too. End of fucking list. This doesn't work. This doesn't work for me like that. I don't have the confidence. I respect the men who do. I don't have it. Next
hair
up.
Looks great. Honestly, I never would have even known that you had any sort of... story behind it.
Absolutely. That's yeah. That's
effortlessly
why,
cool.
Yeah, that's right. And that's right. Next up, cortisol face. This is a TikTok favorite.
Oh, cortisol face.
Yeah.
Cortisol face. Last year, thousands of videos flooded the app to tell me specifically that my face might be extra round due to too much of the stress hormone cortisol. The kind of repetitive TikTok that might stress you out a little bit. According to the Cleveland Clinic, cortisol face, or moon face, can occur as a result of certain syndromes or as a side effect of medication like steroids, but they reassure patients that it isn't itself dangerous, but we don't care if it's dangerous, Cleveland Clinic. We just want to be hot. Jared and Barbie, do I have cortisol face?
No. You don't.
I'm sorry. I mean, where do you rank cortisol face on scale of micro insecurities?
To be fair, I like don't know if I buy it. I think if you're on a medication, like I've been on prednisone for, you know, like losing my voice or something, and then I feel like I'm angry and big and like red, but I don't know if like you being stressed is going to make that big of a difference on your face. But you know what? Maybe. Who knows?
Do they have Broadway doctors that inject steroids the way like football doctors inject steroids in the knees to get people back out there, like horses?
Absolutely. So I actually heard that people don't like doing that because the girlies who sing, they like try to keep their vocal health good. And like if you do too much of that, you like strain it even more. I don't have that problem. And also I was like smoking packs of cigarettes before. I had to stop for Broadway because I was like, I'm going to lose my voice. But they do shoot you up. Yeah. B12 and prednisone happens all the time.
Cool. I should do that before this show.
You would be hyped and angry. I get angry.
Next up. Bad facial harmony, it's another syndrome that only exists in the mind of the mad. Bad facial harmony refers to the concept that one can have good individual facial features, but bad overall facial harmony. You could also have the inverse, which I guess is being overall gorgeous, but with dog-ass individual features.
Wow.
I mean, here's a prime example of a horribly ugly woman.
Yeah, hideous.
With terrible symmetry.
Is Bella, is she the idea of like, bad facial harmony?
No.
Or she's good facial harmony.
I think this must be good facial harmony.
It's another classic case of, do we want this or not? I think we do.
I think we do. I'm not worried about facial harmony.
Me,
I think it's like a 3. I think I get talked into it.
Maybe a 2. I'd say a 2. If someone was like, because I do, like one of my eyebrows is like a little lower than the other one. Hate.
Do you have this thing where when I look at my face in a FaceTime, it looks like my eyes are all black? Are you having that?
They have like sneaky filters on FaceTime if that you can like churn off.
You mean like the whites are gone and the whole thing is
demonic possession on FaceTime?
Not that.
I'm sorry, are you seeing something different?
Mouth? Like it looks like I don't have like my eyes are brown and it looks like my eyes are black. Does anyone have that?
Maybe we'd get that checked out.
I don't have that either. I don't have that.
Finally, this
demonic
is
possession.
Yeah, I have that.
This is something called septum arms.
Huh?
It, I don't know what it's oh, because it, this is why it's called that. He or she would be hot, Sep Dem Arms.
Oh. Oh my goodness yeah. gracious.
Yeah.
What if I was like, yes, yes, stop.
Yes, exactly.
Some people are ugly in their arms.
I was gonna smash, imagine. But your disgusting biceps were, I mean, I guess.
Maybe.
Not
maybe.
Me, not me. I'm an angel.
This seems like it's like the millennial equivalent. This is of a butter arms. Body.
Butter, oh,
you know,
butter face,
butter body. That was something.
Yeah.
I was once called a butter face once to my face. I was so complimented. I was like, I have been working out.
I would die. If someone said that you're a butter face to me, I would be so gassed. Like, I literally be like, that's right. The body's hot. Body tea, bitch.
You know what? This is actually funny. I've never actually even talked about it before, but it was a very drunk person at a bar, gay bar in DC called Halo. That was at 17th and R. And if you were the person that very drunkenly came up to me and said, oh, you're very hot, butter face, and then left... if you remember that, I remember it. So you're right to feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're probably around my age, and you did it. And I remember it.
When I first started doing stand-up and roast battle was really popular, I wrote a joke for someone else that was like, she's a butterface, meaning that she'll let you put it in her butterface. I was proud of that.
That's
right?
A great joke.
I like that.
That's a really good
Thank
joke.
Thank you.
I like
That's
that.
A really
it,
good
it
joke.
It did just fine, but I was like, I wanted an Emmy. I was like, I feel like that should get me some kind of golden statue.
I agree.
Butterface?
It was really good.
Right.
I think you got to put a little more spin on the second time we say butter.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's where we're feeling the wine that I had backstage.
Yeah. But I think it's a great joke. It's a beautiful, simple
Thank
joke.
You,
it's
right?
beautiful, yeah. beautiful. Very well written joke. Very well written joke.
Congrats.
All right.
Thank you.
Good one.
Jared, in your podcast, Sorry What?
Mm-hmm.
You can get that wherever you get podcasts.
You can.
Is it an advice podcast?
It's an advice podcast from a bad listener. I'm doling it. No one's wanting it, but I'm telling you how to live your life.
Hence the name, Sorry What?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it's Sorry What?
I would go, Sorry What?
All right, next up, the text is coming from inside the house.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by Prolon. Changing up your health routine can be challenging. If you don't have a plan, it can be even more difficult to stick to routine. That is what makes Prolon's 5-day program a total game changer. Prolon provides a clear plan with specific daily meals, making it easy to stay focused and achieve real results. Prolon's fasting mimicking diet is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. They're confused. Researched and developed for decades at USC's Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps support healthy blood sugar, enhanced skin appearance, fat loss, and improved energy and focus post-fast. It all starts with their 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages designed to keep your body in a fasting state. No guesswork or planning required. With Prolon, you get everything you need, prepackaged and ready to go. Each of Prolon's 5-day programs come with 5 boxes labeled so you know what to eat each day. 3 consecutive cycles of Prolon have been shown to reduce your biological age score by an average of 2.5 years and your waist circumference by 1.5 inches. To help kickstart a health plan that truly works, Prolon is offering Love It or Leave It listeners 15% off site-wide, plus a $40 bonus gift when you subscribe to their 5-day nutrition program. Just visit prolonlife.com/loveit. That's prolonlife.com/loveit to claim your 15% discount and your bonus gift, prolonlife.com/loveit.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And, on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. Monday is Trans Day of Visibility, so keep your heads on a swivel.
Turn the house lights up.
I am.
Just want to remind everybody that from Crooked Media Reads, we have Woodworking. It's the debut novel from Yellow Jackets writer and culture critic Emily St. James. I truly love Woodworking. If you haven't read it yet, pick it up. Support Emily. Support Crooked Media. Support this book. It is a trans story, and it's just an amazing story. It's an incredibly entertaining, engrossing read. Highly recommend the audiobook. Emily was on Love It or Leave It a few weeks ago, and if you didn't grab a copy then, now's your chance. It's fun. It's moving. And everybody should grab their copy at crooked.com/books or anywhere you like to get books. It's a great queer story for people that are anywhere on the flag. But if you're somebody that wants to be supportive and wants to understand the trans perspective, there's a lot of coverage of the politics, but not really enough conversation about just the experience, and a lot of coverage of trans people that is about trans people as objects as opposed to being subjects. And so everybody should go to crooked.com/books and pick up a copy. Also, as I mentioned, the monologue in Wisconsin, we got to do everything we can to elect Susan Crawford, who is a qualified judge, and to stop Elon Musk's backed MAGA guy, the right-wing attorney general. It's the first major race since Trump won in November. It will determine the majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Get everything you need to vote or volunteer before next Tuesday, April 1st at VoteSaveAmerica.com, paid for by Votes of America. You can learn more at VoteSaveAmerica.com. This ad has not been authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Also, we're off next week, but we'll be back at the Allegiant Theater on April 10th with Robbie Hoffman and more great guests. So if you're in LA, grab tickets for Love It or Leave It live at crooked.com/events. All right. Now for a segment we're calling Houthi Among Us.
Hey, look at us.
Oh my God.
There we are.
Wait, do you see what I mean about the black eyes?
They're beautiful. They're good.
They're deep.
Okay, thank
they're
you.
Deep. You have they're deep, deep eyes.
Okay, okay, okay.
Stop trying to find stuff to complain about.
Okay, okay, okay.
Look, Michael Waltz, the national security advisor, has obviously screwed the pooch. But haven't we all sent a straight text or two to show some empathy and, more importantly, embarrass our guests? We're each going to share something we've done in text that we regret in a segment I've already named. Barbie, kick us off. When is the time you sent an errant text, included the wrong person, made a mistake?
Okay, so this is quite a while ago, maybe like 10 years ago. I remembered this today, and I was immediately stricken with embarrassment again. I was texting someone, like a friend of mine, and I was like, oh, let's meet here. I was in New York at the time. And so I show up, and I see someone else that I know. I'm like, hey, what's up? And they're like, oh, like, are you coming with us? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm waiting for my friend. And I'm like, okay, weirdo. He walks away. And then I realized I was texting that person the whole time, and he thought I was just lost my mind. And like, we were supposed to meet at this exact place. I was like, that's so random that you also happen to be at this exact place right now. And so, yeah, that was embarrassing.
Did he think it was a date?
No, it wasn't a date. He had friends with him.
Oh.
But it was riveting. I know that story's crazy.
No, but he came.
He did. And then I was like, oh, like, I'm just meeting someone here. Like, it just, like, did not click with me.
But what happened when he figured it out? I mean, it must have been embarrassing.
He actually was great and just, like, walked away with his friends. It was just like, okay, fucking weirdo. And then...
But he clearly wanted to see you. This is what I'm trying to understand, because he got a whole group of friends to say, no, no, we got to go meet Barbie. She's inexplicably texting me. But it's important that I see her for some reason.
Yeah.
So did you break his heart? Are you sure? You're sure this person didn't want a date?
Maybe. I mean, I never know. So who's... I mean, maybe. But no, I think the person that I was trying to meet was someone I was trying to date.
And what happened there?
Well, then I just like, I blew it. I was like, the whole time I thought it was someone else I was texting. It was like days and days of conversations.
But did you ever go back to the person it was supposed to be? What happened
to
their number?
I was too mortified. I just never talked to either of them again. But that one guy was like a mutual friend of a bunch of people. And I had just been like flirting with him, and I had no intention. And I guess, yes, he was trying to date me.
And yeah, I did break his heart. But it's okay. It was an accident. I still think about how awful that was. And also the worst part is this is all in Grand Central Station.
Were you going for oysters? What's going on?
No, babes. I was at the time I lived in like Mount Vernon, and so this story just gets juicier and juicier, doesn't it? So I was in Midtown. I was like, what am I doing here? And I just like look like an idiot and had to go home.
I'm sorry that happened.
It's okay. I think I'm okay.
You're okay.
I think I'm okay.
What if that other person you meant to be texting is the love of your life?
God, I don't even remember who it was.
What if that was sliding door?
I never saved anyone's name under in my phone, and
wow,
now I do it.
That's chaos.
That's
crazy.
I know. I have like 900 unread messages. I need to stop.
No. I really understand and respect that. I get it.
I thrive in chaos.
But what do you think it is about us that there's something about our relationship with time? Because it's as if there's no future. As if, like, yes, we know who this is right now, and that's all that matters. As if we can't imagine a future where they will be in our life for an extended period of time, so that it's obviously right now worth saving the number. Why shouldn't we save the number right now? Well, because we're not going to know this person, we're not going to see this person, or we're not going to live. Why aren't we saving the numbers right now?
You should ask that to 18-year-old me who was stoned out of her mind in a Supreme jacket.
I'm doing better about saving the numbers.
I save all numbers now. Ever since then, I really learned a lesson.
Do you know there's a name for this?
What?
I'm going to get it wrong.
Asshole?
But it's something very dumb, like tip-toptimism. Can you look it up? It's like tip-toptimism. Have you heard about this?
Tip-toptimism?
Yes.
Okay.
Do I have a rabid case
That's
of tip-toptimism?
That's what you have. Wait, this is going to be huge for you.
What's tip-toptimism?
It's people who are like chronically bad with time, and you have an optimism about how much time you think you have.
Oh,
yeah. Couldn't be me.
It's
I'm
something about
early.
Time and optimism Whirling. Has become one word. Tids. Yes.
What is it?
Say it again. Tids optimist.
I like tip-top better.
I know. It's a terrible word.
Tids is actually better.
Way better. It's spelled T-I-D-S optimist. Tids optimist.
Okay. Well, we'll check that out.
You might have that.
Send that to my therapist. Who I'm now angry hasn't brought it up. Though it's hard to bring it up when we have an appointment in 6 months. Got to text her back. Number's not saved. Jared, when have you made a mistake on text?
I feel like I have texted stop to end to the Democrats at least 20 times. And there is no end in sight. And I feel like maybe you might have something to tell me.
Yeah.
So,
inside info.
So the texts have got to fucking stop. I will say I actually want to figure out if this is possible, but I do believe in something called Democrat Plus, which is a car. Yeah. It's a phone. It's a car, but it's a service you would pay a monthly fee to support progressive politicians, but no ads, no texts, no phone calls, no nothing. And everyone makes the deal.
You're giving this all away for free.
No. You're going to have to donate every... You're going to have
to donate... What about the idea, babe?
No. Yeah, I mean, it's just for the country.
Right, it's a good idea
for the country.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard because you have to figure out... Because then it's like they all want money and they all raise money separately. And so it's very complicated. But I kind of like the idea of something called Democrat Plus. So I'm going to work on that.
Okay.
I really am.
For the fancy Democrats who want to pay a monthly fee.
Well, I just think it's like there's a lot of people donating in $5 increments all the time. And then you're like constantly getting like...
Why not get a TV show out of it?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, right. No, it's also a streaming service. But no, if you go to like, I'll go to my text right now. I'm going to go to my text right now. I don't have to look very far.
They're going to start doing like AI scams of this. I'm telling you, the AI scams, if they were smart, they would tap into the
they would just do both. It's the same company sending out all the messages.
Because there's people who are like, hey, how are you? Oh, are we getting dinner next week? And it's actually a scam. Have you been caught in this?
Oh, yeah. I mean.
I feel like there's a missed opportunity for some scamming.
Also, just as a public service announcement, nobody at Easy Pass is texting you.
That's the one that got me.
We're just talking about EasyPass.
EasyPass does not reach out to you.
Or Wells Fargo. I'm like, my Wells Fargo? I've never had Wells Fargo.
EasyPass is not texting you. That's not how it works. It's not EasyPass. Don't click that link.
The scams are getting better.
They are.
They're getting more personable.
Or we are getting older, but let's say that the scams are getting better.
Speak for yourself. We're not getting older.
Hey, that's
not me.
No, just this.
Look, just me.
I like this kind of generational dialogue. We have two members of Gen Z and a member of Millennial.
Yes.
And that's what this
AARP?
Is.
That's me.
That's you. And you're AARP.
Yeah.
You're AARP. From A to Z.
Well, I used to be Gen Z, and now I'm Millennial. They've changed the year.
Hey, did you see the news that Gen Z is more conservative than Millennials?
I believe it. There's a lot going on with Gen Z.
What are we
going
to do?
God. I mean, I have the exact answer for this.
I have the answer.
I have the exact answer.
Can we just work on it? Can we just promise to work on it?
I'm trying. I feel like I try, and then but the Gen Zs, as a Gen Z millennial, whatever zillennial, I'm starting to just like lose grasp. Like they're not hanging out anymore. No one's fucking. Everyone's conservative. It's scary.
I was trying
to
think
algorithms.
It's algorithms for sure. I was trying to think of a text that I sent that got me in trouble, and I actually realized that the worst I am as a person is not in the text I send. It's the text I don't send. Oh. And the years of just letting things go by and being like, I gotta respond to that until it's gone forever.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And I kind of wish I could have like an auto reply message that's just like, like, thank you for your text. I'm not built for this era. And I have time. I'm not like the great myth is that I'm like we're all so busy. There are some people who are very busy, but everyone's got 4 hours of screen time, so we're all pretending to be busy. I have the time. I could reply. I'm probably not going to because I didn't think of something to say in the moment. And then
my day kept going.
And then my day kept going. And I'm really sorry. And it doesn't mean I don't love you, but it probably means I don't love you.
Just don't value them.
And I think it's bad. And I think it's how fascism came to America. They'll be like, how did fascism come to America? It was mostly texting.
Yeah.
We tried to find it was the pandemic, it was eggs, and it was texting. And in hindsight, it was not the right response. If we have hindsight then. What a weird note to end the show on.
Can I start running for office? I think I'm ready.
Sure, I would love that.
I'd vote for you.
Yeah. I would love that.
I think it's algorithms is like the big problem. I think like it's designed. We know how they work, and it's like my own algorithm feeds me things that I either hate or agree with. But even it's always from the loudest people who are the most annoying. So even when I read things that I agree with, it comes from such an annoying source that it makes me want to stop believing in the things that I believe in. And I have to actively talk to myself and put my phone down and remember who I am and stop reacting to this like reactionary thing. And that is also like designed from like a billionaire who's like deciding what we look at all the time. Like we just forget that we're looking at this thing and it's like, and that's just how it works. But it's like, it is decided by someone that is making, I think the pendulum of like conservative and liberal going back and forth is very natural and will happen all the time. And that's like kind of okay, but it has become so psychotic and exaggerated because someone started making money off of it. And we are just, our whole lives are controlled and ruined by like truly seven people who are profiting off of this. And it's, I hope that it can stop somehow. We need to go back to websites. If everyone just had a website, I will get a Squarespace.
I will get one. Come to my Squarespace.
Do you think like just a like I think that that's right, but I actually think part of like I was talking to a friend of mine and this is where we'll leave it. I was talking to my friend of mine who's like trying to think about how to bring local news back, right? Like we've lost local news in so many places. The newspapers were eviscerated. Everything has been nationalized. It means there's tons of local corruption and stories that are not being told. It means that when there are problems in Los Angeles or there are potential solutions in Los Angeles for, say, the housing crisis, and then these interest groups like the NIMBYs put in a bunch of pressure on the mayor to reverse a policy that will allow more housing to be built across the city because the public isn't able to get fully informed. Only the hyper-aware the kind of special groups that are really paying attention are able to really carry sway and like causes problems all across the country. And she's thinking about how do we bring back local news and talking about, well, the business model changed and the local places didn't adapt and people really do want local news. That's why there's Nextdoor. People are clamoring for it. And then part of it is also like we have to like recognize our agency. Like why did these newspapers go away? People stopped subscribing to them. Like, yes, it is the algorithm, but it's also all of us collectively choosing to participate. And like we have to have both. I think like what I'm increasingly realizing is like
part of, I think, what we try to do all the time. And I think it's why people like Luigi, it's why people, I think, liked Barack Obama sometimes, is they thought, oh, finally, someone's just going to fix it, right? And like that's what the right likes Trump. Like, someone's going to fix it. We know who to blame. We know who can fix it. I can just sit here in my house and the problem will get resolved. And we are not getting to the end of this without all of us making hard sacrifices, which may include, by the way, forcing ourselves to do unpleasant things, like not looking at our phones and actually having in-person interactions and like accepting some discomfort and boredom and challenge that comes along with building coalition with people that don't see the world the same way as you. And like the more we take ownership of that and the more responsibility we take for that, I think the better hope we have for actually figuring our way out of this. And that's what I think about that. That's our show. Thank you so much to Barbie Ferreira and Jared Goldstein. We'll see you in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now at the Legion Theater. Also, check out Saturday. We're going to have a very special episode of Terminally Online hitting your feeds on Saturday. Is that happening? Probably. Yeah. If you're hearing this, it's happening. There are 584 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Will Miles are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Schercher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski, for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat. Our head of programming is Madeline Herringer. And our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.